Hello, and welcome to a new episode of On Air with Erica Go Next. I am Yael Catsworth, the deputy editor with Erica Go Next. Today we will be speaking with Greg Kiefer, chief marketing officer at Raft. AI is the big buzzword in the air cargo industry today, with stakeholders across the supply chain looking at how this technology can improve efficiency and assume responsibility for repetitive tasks, thereby freeing up time for employees to do more meaningful work. But change does not come easily, and the industry is currently undergoing some AI growing pains as stakeholders evaluate the best uses for AI and determine where AI does not work. Raft's Greg Kiefer discusses how AI is changing the landscape of the air cargo industry.
You know, AI is a lot of things, and when you think of air cargo, right, it's a fairly fast process, right? I think one of the things that AI is able to do is pick up a lot of the, you know, what I'll call mundane, redundant tasks that are generally performed by people that actually people don't really want to do it. It's talking about like rekeying data, right, where you get a document from a partner or a carrier that needs to be loaded into another system. And somebody has to type that in. There's not a magical way to do that despite three decades of trying. And I think AI and its ability to read and interpret information and different types of documents and classify things is going to make a big difference and add a lot to the speed, which I think is really important when you're talking about, you know, a move that takes 24 hours or so.
What are the current obstacles that you're seeing to implementing AI?
Well, any kind of new technology, there's always a fair amount of uncertainty and newness to it that people don't fully understand. So I think part of it is just market awareness and understanding of what AI can and can't do. It's not a black box. It may someday become one. I mean, there's still a fair amount of, you know, orchestration and process to get it right. So I think, like with any new technology, I mean, we saw the same thing back in the early days of cloud, and I imagine even the days of the personal computer. It takes a while for people to embrace different technologies and the software itself, the tech tool itself, to catch up with the demands of a workflow. It's something like supply chain and logistics, right, which is fairly complicated and different. So I think it'll take time, like anything. But I think it's here to stay. I don't think this is another blockchain moment where it's all hype and hot for a couple of years and then nobody can figure it out and it fades away. Even though blockchain actually hasn't faded away, it's become something much different than it was in 2015 when everyone was all excited about it.
You said we need market awareness on what AI can and can't do. Can you talk more about that? What can AI do? What can't it do for us?
First off, it's getting better at an orders of magnitude level. In other words, the machines, because machines are teaching themselves now, right? It doesn't require an engineer to teach it or write new code. It's writing its own code. So, right, it's becoming smarter by itself, if that makes sense. But I think, you know, you'll see use cases that kind of lead the way, like write an essay on the history of air freight, right? And it'll do it. You just say, make it 200 words long, and it'll do it. And that used to take someone like me a day to do that, right? And, you know, a writer might look at it and go, that's not that great, but it checks the box. When you get down a few levels into orchestrating commerce and trade and logistics and all of the complexities that we all in the industry understand, you know, it's going to take a little bit of time for it to be able to be this magical black box that does it all by itself. And it may never get there. I mean, I think that there is a very important role that humans, well-trained, you know, or certified humans that know this stuff have to take versus just entrusting it, right? So, you know, look, I mean, there will be people that get very good at writing prompts and asking it the right way to do the right things. But I think that, you know, people just have to get used to living with it and using it. And the funny irony is a lot of us have been using it for years, right? I mean, how many people, you know, what used to get a map out to find directions, now you just talk to your phone and say, tell me the best way to the airport, right? It tells you. And I think, you know, that is probably a future state, but I think for the time being, you know, it's going to be really finding ways where you can apply AI or, you know, large language models to pieces of the process to really begin to, you know, create that efficiency and agility and velocity.
You mentioned cloud technology. I understand you were with GT Nexus when the industry really began using cloud technology. What similarities and differences do you see between how the industry is embracing and implementing these two different technologies?
Yeah, it was at GT Nexus when the internet was this new thing, and nobody really knew what to do with it, right? The internet was going, you were going on Yahoo, I think it was pre-Google, and typing in, looking up information about the history of air freight or something. And it was just beginning to make its way into the world of business. And there was a lot of fear, uncertainty, and doubt about that. You know, like, is it safe? And, you know, we have our own software servers, and well, I can't use it on the internet, or what happens if my web browser breaks? And there were all sorts of security concerns, and, you know, it took a good decade. The handle of cloud, you know, didn't come in really until like 2008. You know, there were all these different terms. It was hosted, on demand, software as a service, SaaS, platforms as a service. And really what happened was, and it was largely driven by Mark Benioff and Salesforce, is this idea of cloud, which was based on those architecture diagrams that engineers make. And they had the little cloud, which meant the internet, that somebody started calling it that. And that was what kind of help people kind of grok this idea that, wow, this actually is a thing, and there's some very big successful companies that are out there delivering software, you know, as a service over a browser, you know, on a rental basis versus having to buy a disk and install and maintain it. So the paradigm shifted, but it took, you know, 10 years. You know, it took 10 years for it to really to a point where GT Nexus started getting RFPs coming into our inbox. And we were trying to forge a category, and you know, we always felt that supply chain is an interesting, in such desperate need of innovation, because look, it's still being done with email and PDFs, really. I mean, it's, you know, we might have eliminated faxing, but there's still a lot of unstandard docs and processes. So, you know, I see a very similar maturation cycle. I think AI might go quicker. It might be more white hot than internet was, but I don't know. I kind of look at technology inflection points over the history of time, you know, there's only been a handful of big ones. The personal computer was one. The internet was one. I would say maybe smartphones was one. Social networks, you know, kind of that information model of Facebook and LinkedIn was one. And this is the next one, right? And so, A, it's not going away. And I think that practitioners and buyers need to really get in and understand it and start testing with it. It doesn't mean, like, trust your entire operation to the AI black box and it's going to be magical, but there are some definite proven areas where this stuff is working. I mean, Raft, that's what we're doing, right? We are definitely applying it to the consumption of unstructured data and documents and then allowing it to kind of drive into the systems that they already use without having to rekey everything. And it's just having a profound impact on data quality and velocity.
What lessons can the air cargo industry learn from cloud implementation as we now look to AI?
Well, I think, you know, when you look at any new industry in innovation like this, there's always going to be, I'll call, you know, leaders and laggards, right? Leaders are companies that are more aggressive, are willing to take risks, are kind of the guinea pigs, if you will, that will go in early and experiment and try to take on this new technology. And we saw that with cloud. Some are huge companies, some are small companies. But you know what they're getting is they're learning before everybody else, but they're also the ones that are going to be doing the, you know, the testimonials and the case studies and talking about the proof points so that the masses and the majority are laggards, you know, the people that aren't, you know, sure about it and want to wait and kind of hedge their bets can come in. So I think, you know, we are in that phase now with AI where you are seeing companies that are using this today doing a lot of really cool, impactful things. And, you know, it's, as these stories get out, you know, it's, I think it's going to lower the fear that AI is going to, you know, take over your computers and crash all your planes, right? I mean, I just, you know, yes, I mean, there's always going to be fear about anything different. But people felt the same way about, you know, putting their credit cards on the cloud, right? They were worried that someone would steal their credit cards. And by the way, that happens, right? But, you know, we're all using e-commerce now. But that was a big hurdle. So, you know, I just think that with any new innovation, there's going to be bumps. But I think the end, you know, is going to be a superior outcome to not doing anything. And I think that the laggards need to decide when they want to jump on. Because, again, I don't think this is going anywhere.
And how do you decide which new technologies to embrace? You mentioned blockchain and how that didn't go as far as everyone thought it was going to. How do you determine, yes, this is something we need to invest in, this is here to stay?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Blockchain is a great one, right? I mean, I couldn't understand it, and I'm in the industry. You know, I understand the idea that you could have this Lego brick, and once you put something, you made a change, it was forever, you know, etched on there. I understood that it took just enormous amounts of computing power and energy to happen, but I couldn't understand it, and I couldn't connect it to a real workflow business process in supply chain. I think that is not happening here with AI. I mean, there are very simple things like run me a report of the last 16 shipments on Lufthansa over between, you know, Berlin and New York. Just ask it, and the executive gets the report on their phone, okay? The other one that I mentioned earlier, this idea that you relieve expensive, you know, unhappy, low-level humans of the hassle of having to swivel chair key data between different systems from, you know, reading things in multiple languages and getting all the complexities out. Those are real things, and they're really, really happening today, right? So I think, you know, that's really how this is going to happen, is to really go very specific into something that people can understand, right? And say, wow, like, I get that, right? And again, you know, just being selfish here from RAF perspective, you know, we've got over 50 large freight forwarders, you know, doing this today, right? So I think, and we're not the only ones. There's a lot of companies that are doing it. So, you know, going back to what I said a minute ago, as a practitioner or a buyer, somebody's trying to understand what this is, you really need to read those case studies, and you really need to understand it. And when you engage a vendor about doing it, it's got to be practical. It can't be this, oh, it's magical. You know, like, it goes in and it comes out. It goes in this side and comes out perfect the other end, right? That, if that's all you're getting, then don't buy it. It's probably more in the realm of blockchain. But we're not seeing that here with AI. I mean, we are definitely seeing some very, very pragmatic, real-world things that people can understand. And there's a lot of companies like us that are out talking about it, bringing their stories to the market, like I'm doing right here with you, right? So I think it's all going to add up to a point where there's going to be enough on there where people can really begin to see what this is and what it isn't. And I think when they really, really understand it, they're going to be impressed about what it is.
Speaking about specific use cases, how is RAFT using AI? What are some of these use cases?
Yeah, so, you know, as I mentioned before, RAFT is really trying to tackle this issue of information integrity and quality and speed and accuracy. And if you think of any part of the supply chain, whether it's air freight or ocean freight or trucking or whatever, you know, one of the things that the technology has struggled with for the past 30 years is once you get past the planning phase and you go into your network to orchestrate movement of freight, for lack of a better, you know, simpler example, you suddenly are dealing with a constellation of partners and other companies, right? And in some cases, this could number in the thousands of companies that are big and small that all have their own systems and their own ways of doing business. And the industry has really struggled to get all of that data, all of the updates and information related that they need to make decisions and choose what to expedite, what they can put on air, and what they can put on a ship, et cetera. And so no matter how great the software is, you know, without good data, it's like having a Lamborghini in your driveway and gasoline hasn't been invented yet, right? So this is a big problem, and email is pervasive to this day, right? I mean, you're seeing emails that have very important information, you know, bills of lading, packing lists, and invoices and updates, right? And it's changing. You know, a single shipment could have 5 updates over the course of a week, and somebody has to scan an inbox and key that into some other system. So that's a real big challenge. So, you know, RAFT, that's what we're tackling. You know, we're tackling that, and we're focused primarily right now on AP, you know, the settlement of the bills that the freight forwarders get from their carriers. Which, you know, as you can imagine, for a big company like Expeditors, which is one of our customers, is a massive amount of data that's coming in paper. You know, it's a PDF or a JPEG or a Word doc, but it's all over the place, right? So we're doing it for AP. We're doing it for customs. Similar experience, right? If you think of all the information that a customs agent, you know, clearance person has to collect before they can file for clearance, it's a lot. And then we're getting into logistics, you know, the act of shipping. So thinking about like booking and tracking of the goods, which is obviously, I think, the holy grail, right, is getting to that hyper granular level of visibility. But if you begin to think about visibility, right, all of the things that we use for finance and customs and warehousing and shipment execution all go into that picture. So we think that's a very juicy area. And by the way, you know, there's immense, it's not just AI that's magically doing this. You know, the applications that people use to operate have to have this embedded into the workflows, right? It doesn't stand on by itself. And by the way, it doesn't replace a TMS or a system of record. The idea is that you use the data, you get it right, and then you update the system of record like a TMS or an AP system or something like that to improve the value of those investments, because those were probably bought 5 to 25 years ago. If you bought it 25 years ago, you've got 25-year-old technology, right? But you've embedded it in your operation. So, you know, how do you improve that without a full rip and replace restart, which is going to take 10 years, and by the time you get it done, you're 10 years behind again?
We thank Greg for his time and insights into how AI can benefit the air cargo industry and how the integration process compares with those of previous technologies. You can look for more coverage and stay up to date on industry news at aircargonext.com.